This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Trade deadline day for football fans. It's another big day for everybody else because it is Tuesday, the first Tuesday in November. And that is Election Day. Mike Jones isn't here to talk Trump Harris. He's here to talk NFL trade deadline and a lot more. Mike, of course, writes for The Athletic. He's their national NFL writer at By Mike Jones on X, on Twitter. We've already had a couple of trades so far today. Za'Darius Smith heads to Detroit, by the way, not for much of an expense. And then the Cowboys just gave up a fourth rounder for Mingo in Carolina. I don't know. It seems like maybe they overpaid compared to how the market, is going for other players. But let me just start with this team. Are you hearing anything as it relates to Washington and any moves they might make by the deadline today?
Not yet. I know that, fans would love to see them get a defensive back. They need help in their secondary. The word is supposedly that players would like to play here, but I have not heard anything yet that leads me to believe that they're close to a deal. Now, there's still time. Obviously, there's a lot of conversations going on around the league. But there's sometimes you're like, okay, like I had a really strong feeling based on everybody I was talking to that Detroit was going to get a pass rusher and that Arizona was going to get one. I have not been able to get a strong feel that Washington is actually going to pull a trigger on a deal at this deadline. We will see.
Who are the corners available right now? Is Lattimore available or not?
That's the problem. There's not a lot of good cornerbacks that are available right now. He is one whose name has been thrown around, but there's something in his contract that it actually, a lot of times if you've got an expiring deal, it's attractive to teams. He's got another two more years left on his deal, and there's some mechanism in there that it actually would trigger a big salary cap hit for New Orleans if they trade him. So it doesn't sound like he's actually going to be traded. The pickings are kind of slim at cornerback because they're just so hard to come by.
I mean, Newsom, in Cleveland, Jones in New England. It's funny because on Lattimore, and I said to Denton earlier, he's been hurt a lot. And I think he's kind of a pain in the backside, too, a little bit. I don't think they're looking for that kind of guy. The question to you as a follow-up would be, because you follow this team and you covered this team for years, do you think they should be thinking big? Because this opportunity right now at 7-2 and to actually vie for the overall one seed in the NFC, that's the reality of their situation right now. They are in the mix for a one seed in the NFC postseason, especially when you consider Detroit has, still Buffalo and San Francisco, not to mention other division opponents. Do you think they should be thinking aggressively?
I think that that's overambitious to think that they can go and get the one seed. I while their season and the start that they're on has been encouraging, they also are not there yet. When you look at some of those elite teams, like you mentioned with Detroit, it's going to be interesting to see how they do. They've got, you know, a little bit of a tough divisional stretch themselves. I think if they come out of that, having won, you know, two of those three games, then you'll feel like, hey, maybe so. Again, they've got also everybody in their division, you know, maybe except for Philly, has real problems. But I don't see this team as one defensive back away from being able to win the NFC. You know, again, it's encouraging. They're trending in the right direction, but I just don't see it.
I've known you for a long time, and what I'm hearing from you is what I've heard from a lot of people. And this is not accusatory. I'm just throwing it out there for the purposes of conversation.
Yep.
I understand that it's hard to believe, based on what we've all lived through over the last 25 years, to believe that Washington is in the mix to win the NFC title. But Mike, they are unstoppable offensively. Historic results for the rookie quarterback. I mean, he is elite right now. These opportunities aren't guaranteed. Do you think, I'm asking you, do you think you're underselling a little bit where they are right now?
You know, I ask myself this a lot. I'm like, okay, am I jaded? Am I, you know, and I'm trying to be as realistic as possible. And, you know, I ask, you know, around a lot, and I don't hear from people in the league, who work in the league, that they view them as an NFC contender to win the NFC. I think they'll make the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to win their division, because the second half of the season is going to be very interesting. You know, this is different than the 25 years that everybody's endured. I'm very curious to see what happens to Cliff Kingsbury's offense the second half of the season, because he always gets off to great starts. And then once everybody has about half a season, they seem to catch up to what he's doing. I want to see what his counterpunch is, how they continue to evolve. Again, how they deal with facing a healthy Philly, you know, and, you know, they've got to play them twice. You know, I'm not worried about Dallas. But look, these divisional games, you can throw the records out. That game on Sunday should not have been close, and they weren't able to fully put the Giants away. They was never really in doubt, but they made it closer. But again, they are a great story. They are headed in the right direction. I think that, you know, again, they can get into the playoffs. Maybe they'll win their division, I think, similar to like Houston last year. And then you roll up against the team in the playoffs that's got experience, and then you kind of are exposed because of your youth, your inexperience, just that everything like that. I think that is probably more likely than them winning the NFC and making a run for a Super Bowl at this point, just because of the youth and, you know, there are holes there. So, yeah, you get somebody in trade deadline that'll make a change. A lot of these midseason trades don't really do that for teams.
Look, my job here today isn't to convince you otherwise, because I've had to also make that adjustment and think in terms of, if this was any other team other than Washington, and I'm not even talking about great franchises, like if this were, let's say, a Miami doing what Washington's doing this year, or an Indianapolis, or a Denver, or somebody like that, I think the conversation would be different. I think there's a lot of baggage that's come along with this. You know, Houston last year, remember, was in a conference with an absolute juggernaut in Baltimore of a regular season team, and Mahomes in Kansas City lurking. I get Detroit. They really look good. But San Francisco's banged up. Atlanta's not going to win more than 10 or 11 games, you know, in their division. They're bad defensively. And the one area in which Washington could help their chances in the postseason is defense. Because they have not, the Giants hung in there Sunday because they ran it down their throat in the first half and threw it over top for the entire second half. And that's where the weakness is. I hear you. It's like, you know, okay, maybe they're 11-6, win a playoff game, lose to San Francisco, lose to Green Bay, lose to Detroit. I just think this opportunity is different than the Houston opportunity last year. That's all.
I get what you're saying. And look, it'd be great if I'm wrong.
You may not be wrong. These two games against Philly are going to be nasty. You know, these division games, like you said, always. They've got a game against Atlanta late in the year that's not going to be easy. But Detroit's got Buffalo. They've got San Francisco. I think they're certainly in the hunt for one of the top two seeds, which would mean two home playoff games before an NFC title game, potentially.
I mean, possibly. Again, I gotta see what they do against Philly these next two games before I'm sold. You know, because
but the trade deadline isn't waiting for the two Philly games.
No, I know. And again, I don't see anybody that's going to dramatically transform their defense in the middle of the season. I just did a thing last week where I looked at every single one of these midseason trades that went down. Most of them, very few of them really make a difference. There's just like, there's nobody. If you are that good, your team's not getting rid of you, and you're not going to come in and change a team. You know, a DeAndre Hopkins for the Chiefs, yes, that'll make a difference. But the Eagles thought that Kevin Byard was going to fix their secondary last year, didn't do it. We've seen, you know, veteran guys. If you are a team that's got a really top-end guy, you're not going to part with him. And, you know, the guys that are available are guys who are a little bit long in the tooth, or young guys that have been very inconsistent, and it's not going to fix Washington. I'd roll with what I have right here and see what happens rather than give up future first round, high picks or middle round picks that you can use to build. No. Because you're
the
thinking,
deal would have to be right. It would have to be the right. And that's the thing, right? You're hitting on the fact that I just think they should think big. That's my number one. It doesn't mean that it will land on something, because that something may not be available, and it may not be available for the right, you know, structure, contractually, compensation, etc. We have had, you're correct, more of these deals haven't led to an incremental jump in performance, but Von Miller did. Christian McCaffrey did, even though they lost that NFC Championship game in Philly. They also lost their quarterbacks during that game. Amari Cooper, when the Cowboys traded for him, he was a massive difference maker, and they made the postseason and won a game. There are examples of it working, but there are more examples of it not working. That's for sure. We're talking to Mike Jones, of course, at By Mike Jones. Last night, real quickly, on two fronts. I mean, it almost seems, doesn't it, unfair that DeAndre Hopkins goes to Kansas City and looks like he'll be the answer at wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at all these other teams. Okay, so every other contender or challenger in the AFC got a wide receiver. Baltimore did. Buffalo did. You know, I'm just like, why are you going to let Kansas City? I mean, I would have pulled the trigger on a deal just to block them from getting him, because you know, this is the last thing that they needed. The door was maybe cracked open just a little bit, even though they're undefeated, but not having any wide receiver help. You know, and here they are. They just load it up and they get a guy that it can, you know, is a savvy veteran, and, you know, and they're so creative, they'll find a way to work him into it. And, you know, second game, he's got, you know, 86 yards and two touchdown catches. And all of a sudden, Travis Kelce is looking like Travis Kelce again, because everybody's got to worry about DeAndre Hopkins and not just Travis Kelce. You know, it's the worst thing for the rest of the AFC that they let them get DeAndre Hopkins, who, you know, he didn't quite look like himself, but a lot of that had to do with who was throwing to him. And, you know, here we go. We'll see what happens. But the Chiefs are, you know, about to, you know, they're, I don't know if 17-0 is going to happen, but they're really tough again.
Yeah, I didn't even know that Kareem Hunt a few weeks ago was on the team. They were playing, was it the Saints on Monday Night Football? I think it was the Saints.
Okay. Yeah.
And he rushed for over 100 yards in that game. And I'm like, I didn't even know he was on the team. And he went for 100. He's gone for 100, I think, three times this year.
Right.
And yet they don't look, they look at times disinterested in these regular season games. Denton said earlier, it's like Mahomes is just kind of playing with his food until the playoffs begin. Or until they really need him, which they did at the end of last night, and he comes through on three touchdown drives in their final four possessions.
Well, it's like their identity has changed. Before it was, you know, Mahomes had to do everything, but they've worked gradually to upgrade their defense. So now instead of being like this light up the scoreboard and hope your defense can just get one stop for you, you've got a strong defense, you've leaned into building on your run game. And so now it's like, okay, everybody do your job and then just keep it close. So then at the end, when we need Mahomes to work his magic, he does it, you know? And here they are, they're 8-0 now, and it's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, but they are more than just a one-trick pony. They're very well-rounded now. Look, they added a defensive guy, to help out their pass rush as well. And it'll be interesting to see if they do anything else, before the deadline here.
Who is the best team in the AFC? Is it KC?
I think it probably is. Baltimore is very close. I think that if they are able to come out of today with some help for their defense, whether it's in their secondary or whether a pass rusher, although, again, there's not a lot of guys out there. There was no way the Browns were going to trade Za'Darius Smith to them in the division there, right? But they need a little bit something else for their defense to become more consistent. And if they do, then maybe they're the best team in the conference. Right now, it's Kansas City. Baltimore is very close, though. They feel good about where their offense is. They can pound the football. They can take shots downfield. They can do just about anything that you want. They just got Deontay Johnson that's going to, help their passing attack even more. They just have to, like I said, shore up their defense a little bit, get after quarterbacks a little bit better, and then get some takeaways in the secondary.
Baltimore is such a great example of what a lot of people have said over the years, that defense, there's great variance year to year with defense. You know, there's no guarantee that if you're dominant, you know, one year, that you're going to be dominant the next. And offensively, there's just typically much less variance year to year. The Ravens last year were a dominant defensive football team. I actually think, I felt going into the postseason, there's no way they can lose. I mean, I guess Mahomes could beat them, but I didn't think they could. And this year, defensively, and they've got a new, they lost their defensive coordinator. He became a head coach, Mike McDonald, and that's a big deal. Yeah. And they lost some key players, too, but they really stink in terms of their pass defense. You can throw the ball all day against them.
Right. They lost their defensive coordinator, their linebackers coach, their defensive line coach. Those are three very important guys for your defense. And then you lose some pass rushing guys, and then your secondary. So that's why I'm saying they have to come out of this trade deadline. They haven't gotten somebody. They've got to get more pressure on the quarterback, because that helps your secondary. Because you're right, if you can throw on those guys, you got time, you can pick them apart. And so that's why I'm kind of look at them, their offense lights out. The defense is going to let them down here and there. Now, it didn't hurt them when they went against Buffalo and they beat them handily, but that was, before Buffalo got Amari Cooper. It's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out for them. But I do think they are right up there, and I think that they understand that they really need some defensive help.
All right, talking to Mike Jones, back to the NFC. Do you consider Detroit to be the front runner?
Yes, yeah, I do. I mean, they can do whatever they want on offense. They can play whatever kind of game, whether it's in a dome and you're, flying up and down the field, or you're in a, a wet and sloppy conditions like we saw this past week. Jared Goff is feeling good and he's accurate, and, and their defense, look, they lost Aiden Hutchinson, their top pass rusher, and they've won five games since. And now they got Za'Darius Smith to help. And look, he's not going to be a single-handed game changer, but he's a strong guy to have in your rotation. And so they're the most well-rounded team, definitely in the conference, maybe in the league.
back to the NFC East because, and I agree with you, got to see these games coming up. Look, Sunday's a big game, and I'll ask you about the Steelers here in a moment. But the two games with Philadelphia a week from Thursday night is their first matchup. Right now, if you had to pick the NFC East winner, and I'm making you do it, who is it?
Why are you doing this thing? I don't know. I keep going back and forth where I'm like, oh, you know what? Philly's getting it together. They're going to be okay. And then you see them kind of like have little hiccups. And it's like, you know what? I don't know about you, Nick Sirianni. You make some gambles and you call yourself aggressive, but you really kind of shoot yourself in the foot. And so, I think it's possible for Washington to win this division. But I kind of think that down the stretch, Philly's going to get it together and they're going to wind up edging Washington out for this division.
I mean, I think you nailed it. I mean, he's dim-witted when it comes to situational football. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Like, there's this faux brave, you know, aggressive posture that just has hurt. Like, the going for two up 16-0 in the first half is just plain stupid. You know, there's nothing that, you know, from an image standpoint, is going to make you look tougher. It's going to cause, if they had lost that game, if Trevor Lawrence didn't throw an interception, do you think there's any chance Howie Rosen and company would have said, we've had enough of you?
Well, part of me wonders if he would have made some of those calls if he was going against anybody but Jacksonville. There are times when coaches will do things because they're like, look, we need to work on this for, you know, the future. And we're not, you know, we've got this game. We're going to be okay, but we need to be sound in this. So we're going to experiment here. I hope that's what he was doing, because otherwise you're just an idiot, if not. And just, you know,
experimenting in one of these 17 precious things you have called games during an NFL season.
But,
you know, that's crazy.
Who he's going against. I don't think he would do that against a quality team. He's going against a team that can't get out of their own way. But even so, I'm like, dude, okay, after the first time, okay, are you really, you want to get it back with the second time? Really, a third time you're going to go for it?
Well, the third time actually made sense. It was the first two that didn't.
But I mean, it's like, dude, take the points. Just take the points. And again, I know that's who he is, and you know that the players like that aggressiveness, but you got to be smart.
Do they like him? I'm just going to tell you seriously, as a football fan, and maybe it's the Philly NFC East thing going on here, I find him to be the most off-putting head coach in recent memory. And it's not because he's a bad coach. It's the overall tone and the smugness and the smugness that is side by side with, at times, just imbecilic decisions. I mean, this guy really is a dope.
Yeah. Yeah. He overestimates himself. And then, you know, but then there's always a scapegoat as well, you know? So,
yeah,
I mean, last
always.
Year was Brian Johnson, you know, when it was like, no, this is your offense and you're the one who's really calling the shots, but, you know, let's, you know, make this guy the bad guy.
Like him? The players or not?
I think a lot of them do. I mean, you do hear about some frictions, you know, between him and Jalen Hurts. But, you know, when he was, you know, when they're winning games and he's rolling the dice and stuff like that, the players will sing his praises. But you better win those games, because if you come up short, then people start looking at you sideways. It's like, in some ways, he's one of them. There are times when he's getting, you know, fired and mouthy, and you see players trying to tell him, like, yo, calm it down, coach, you know? It's a weird dynamic, but he also fits Philly, you know? He's like, you know?
Yeah, but I'm sure they would have just absolutely eviscerated him had they lost that game. All right, I've taken up too much of your time, but I want two more from you real quickly. One, Washington-Pittsburgh Sunday. That is a big test. It's probably the best test they've had since Baltimore, but, you know, they're a much better defensive team. How do you see it going?
Yeah, but I also think that Pittsburgh's offense is as explosive as Baltimore's. We'll see if Russell Wilson can keep this thing up here, but I do think it's a great opportunity for Washington to say, okay, look, we hung with Baltimore, we were competitive, we came up short, You know, and we've had this dramatic win, and we, you know, were able to then pull off a tough divisional game. And then if you can go in there and beat a team that was probably a playoff team with a really good defense, that would say a lot about Washington. And I think they're capable because of, you know, their offense and the improvements we're seeing with their defense, and then just kind of the inconsistencies that we've seen out of Pittsburgh's offense. So it should be a good one.
Last one. How many quarterbacks in the NFC right now, for now and moving forward, would you take in front of Jaden Daniels?
I mean, probably take Jared Goff.
This year and moving forward, just say that for the next 3 to 5 years, who's the quarterback in the NFC you'd want? You'd want Goff?
Five? Oh, 3 to 5. I mean, for right now, I would go Goff, but 3 to 5? See, I don't believe in a lot of these guys. You know what I mean? Some of these young guys, even Jordan Love, I mean, we see Jaden Daniels make smarter decisions than him already. I think they hit, man. I think they really hit on him. This is the guy that you want. Again, I just hope he can stay healthy, and make smart decisions. But he's got a great feel for the game. He's got that special knack and the ball placement. It's impressive. And look, if they can keep him healthy, I mean, they're in great shape for the next 10 to 15 years.
Mike Jones, everybody. Good to catch up. Thanks for doing this as always.
All right, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yep, Mike Jones, at by Mike Jones. Subscribe to The Athletic. You get to read him. You get to read Ben. You get to read David Aldridge. You get to read Diana Russini. All the really good NFL and local people at The Athletic. We'll get to some Denton news when we come back. Keep you updated on the NFL trade deadline wire. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we'll wait a little bit on Denton's news. Denton wants to propose some player acquisition trades for me. Yes or no trades. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I developed a list, and, you know, we had some of our callers in the first hour kind of mention some of these guys, but I'm just going to run down. I think most of these, not all of them, but most of these are legitimate options for Washington, and you can just weigh in, yes, want this individual, no, I don't. The name that we've had mentioned a ton already, Marshon Lattimore, he has 2 years remaining on his current 5-year, $97 million deal with an opt-out in 2025, so he has years after that, but the opt-out is in 2025 to where you can renegotiate that deal if you were Adam Peters. Interested in Marshon Lattimore in the event that hopefully he is healthy?
Health is everything with him recently. What's it going to cost me to get him? Because I'm taking a bit of a flyer on him being healthy enough to play in the games that I'm going to really need him in. I'd be a little bit concerned. The player and the talent is unmistakable. Marshawn Lattimore is an excellent cover corner. He would help this defense a lot, but he'd have to be available. I'd be a bit concerned about that. I'd also just be concerned. I think he's been at times a bit of a diva, bit of an issue, and a bit of a headache. Look, all of these answers would be easy if I just, you know, and boring if I just said, I trust Adam Peters. You know, just like with Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk, phenomenal talent. I trust Adam Peters. He knows the player. But Lattimore, healthy, right attitude would really help.
Yeah, I would at least make a phone call with him just to see, because the simple fact is I don't know that it could get much worse than certain guys out there, right? I do think Mikey Sanders still is playing well. I think Noah I is playing very well. But if you're effectively replacing Emmanuel Forbes or Michael Davis with Marshawn Lattimore, that's a win to me, especially if, because we've seen, you've gotten some bargain deals. I mean, Za'Darius Smith, DeAndre Hopkins, even Deontay Johnson, like these guys are really going for next to nothing in terms of draft value. So I would at least pick up the phone and call New Orleans, understanding that they're one in salary cap hell, and two, they're in a rebuild effectively at this point.
How many games has he missed this year?
I think he's only missed one this year. Okay. Let me double check that. He might have missed two.
That started off on fire and, you know, they've had major issues since. You know, there's something about Lattimore that certainly would be attractive. You know, here's a guy with decent size. Here's a guy that can really run. Here's a guy that's sticky. He can flat out play. You know, remember, there was, you know, with Jalen Ramsey, there was a lot of discussion about the same kinds of things when the Rams acquired him. You know, Lattimore, the Saints, when's the last time the Saints went to the postseason?
Oh, God, I think it's been a while.
Was it with Breeze?
I think it was with Drew Breeze.
Okay. I don't think he played well in some of their postseason games. I think if you go back and look at that, I'd have to go back and look at because I know he played in a couple of those games with Breeze early in his career. All right, what's your next one? Lattimore, to me, is really a tough one because you got to know so much about the guy and his health. And we don't know a lot about that. We just know that he's missed a lot of games here in recent years.
All right, next on the list is Willie Gay, who is in New Orleans right now. He's on a one-year deal, so you don't have to pay him after this year. He played four seasons in Kansas City, a member of some of their Super Bowl teams. He has four career interceptions, but you're getting a guy on a one-year deal that has proven he can play at the NFL level. And you're likely, I would say, if you're trading for Willie Gay, it's probably a sixth or a seventh round pick.
I know, but who is he? You're trading for Willie Gay for actually a position that you feel pretty good about right now in recent weeks. You know, this is not a guy that you're acquiring for, you know, pass rush. I think Luvu and Wagner and Fowler Jr. right now are some of their best players on defense. I'm just looking for a corner, or I'm looking for a massive impact run stopper or pass rusher. So no on Willie Gay.
No on Willie
Gay.
How old
is Willie Gay? It seems like he's been in the league for a while, no?
No, he's only 26. He was drafted in 2020.
So he was drafted by KC?
Yeah, he's drafted by Kansas City and then signed with New Orleans.
Okay.
You know, I think you're right on that one. If he was a, like, bona fide run stopper, you'd have some intrigue, but he's not necessarily that. I actually think he's probably one of the better coverage linebackers in
league. Right, like in Kansas City, that's kind of what he was during those years. He wasn't a pass rusher.
No, he was more like that almost, not quite the hybrid where he was a linebacker safety, but that's kind of where he lived a lot of during his time in Kansas City. All right, how about a name that we're a little familiar with? How about Ronald Darby? He's on a two-year deal, cap it at $5 million in 2025. You know he can play. He's pretty decent his time here. Any interest?
Where is he playing right now? Is he Philly?
No, I believe he's in Jacksonville, right now. Again, I'm looking at some of the teams that we kind of have an idea not going to be very good this year, so they might be in a position to sell some
guys. We got him paid, didn't we?
We did.
That 2020 season that he had, people had given up on him, and he bounced back, and he got a good deal. Who was it who signed him?
It was Denver that signed
Denver.
Him. I mean, that 2020 year was the best year of his career, by far.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how Ronald Darby is playing right now. That's a tough one for me. You know, when I think about corners, you know, that is a veteran corner. That is a veteran savvy corner. It's a corner who's played in a lot of big games. I mean, he was obviously in a lot of big games in Philadelphia. I don't know. I don't have a good feel for Darby's season right now.
Yeah. His numbers aren't terribly impressive. He's deflected six passes. He doesn't have an interception. He's played all the games, though, so he's been healthy. 36 tackles on the season. It's just on a Jacksonville defense that is not particularly good. Like, they're very much struggling.
I'm looking up just an advance number on his season so far. Look, Jacksonville's a train wreck. But this is, in terms of his PFF grade, this is one of the worst seasons he's had. The Washington season, actually, from a PFF standpoint, wasn't his best season, but he obviously played very well on a team that made a late run and actually, you know, had a shot in a playoff game against Tampa Bay. Not a good shot, but
a shot. Shot is enough. How about Greg Newsome? You mentioned him a couple times on the phone with Mike and with some callers. You pay him this year, you got a club option in 2025.
Yeah, he had a good season last year, you know, in Cleveland. Because I did a little bit on Jonathan Jones and Newsome and J.C. Horn and Ward, who's banged up right now. But Newsome had a really good season last year. He's a trusted guy this year. They picked up his fifth-year option. All right, you know, when you pick up the fifth-year option, it's not, you know, we're talking about half the guys or maybe less than half the guys for 2025. They did that before this season, so you got him for the rest of this season and you got him for next year. And, you know, you're talking about a guy that I think would help. You know, he's probably as good as anybody you have right now. Does he fit the scheme? I think he does fit the scheme. Does he fit the profile personality-wise? I think he does. You know, that's an area that I'm, you know, a little bit less clear on. But Newsome would be interesting if Cleveland is in sell mode. And already today, they've dealt one of their players in Za'Darius Smith. So Newsome, yeah, I'm like, it's again, if they traded for Newsome, that's one of those I'd feel good about. I'd feel good about him. I'd feel decent about J.C. Horn. I'd feel decent about a veteran like Jonathan Jones, who's played in a lot of big games. So, yeah, they need corners that can play. He can play.
All right, I have one big swing here for you.
What about you on Newsome?
I would take Newsome. Yeah, if Newsome is available, I would take him. But I have one big swing, and this is really leading into the fact that the team this guy plays for is absolutely awful. He did just sign a contract this offseason, so it makes it tough. But would you pick up the phone, knowing that Adam Peters and Rand Carthon have a little bit of a relationship, and ask about Legarius Sneed?
Oh, Sneed. Oh, I thought you were going to say Landry.
No, I think Landry is a little bit more realistic, but Legarius Sneed is the guy that you just signed, but your team is awful. You don't have a quarterback. It's going to take at least a couple of years for you to get one.
I think the problem with these deals when you've just signed the player to a massive deal, like, you know, the Titans did with Legarius Sneed after last year, is that you really absorb a major cap hit when you trade him with that much contract left. So I would be surprised if it's a tradable contract. Has he played well? Tennessee defensively has not been bad this year.
No, they haven't been, and he has played well. Now, he's not putting up like some of those crazy numbers that he did in Kansas City, but he's also not getting nearly the spotlight that he had in Kansas City because he's playing on a team that is not as good as the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, so you're talking about a cap hit of $24 million in 25, and then a dead cap number following that season of another $12 million. So you're talking about $36 million in dead cap money that they'd have to absorb. Now, they can absorb it, I think, over a two-year period. But it's hard to trade guys that you just signed to big deals without some pain. You know, we like think about Carson Wentz, right? When the Eagles, you know, dealt him to Indianapolis, and Indianapolis picked up that deal and that trade. Philly traded him a year after they signed him to that big extension. They took the largest salary cap, dead cap hit in NFL history at that point. That's how much they disliked him. And so those are the things that factor in. Would I want the player? Of course.
Of course.
Would it be great to have the player under contract for the next few years? That would be phenomenal. See, that's the kind of player, because of the contract, you know, and he's under contract, you're going to have to give up something significant if he's available. I bet he isn't.
No, I bet he isn't either. Now, Harold Landry III, linebacker, pass rusher, maybe. We'd heard rumors of that about a week or two ago, and then things got quiet. I tend to believe that when things get quiet, that's when actual work is being done. So maybe there's something there. I would take Landry, though, if he's on the table.
He can get after the quarterback, period. And he's a high-motor player. He's an explosive player. I think he's had some injuries, though, right? He missed a whole season. It wasn't last year. Was it 2 years ago?
It was 2022. He played all 17 games last year, and he's played 8 games this year.
So did he miss a game this year?
I think Tennessee might have only played. I think they had an early bye.
Yeah. I would assume that one of the reasons Tennessee has been good on defense this year is that Harold Landry and L'Jarius Sneed and some of their other players have played well, because they actually have been a decent defensive football team this year. You know, the Lions scored 52, but it was like a return and turnovers and the whole nine yards. It was more about the Tennessee, you know, hideous offense, which is what they've had all year. But, you know, they've got players on that team. Jeffrey Simmons and Arden Key and Joseph Day. They've got players on that defense. What's his face? The Oklahoma linebacker that was, you know, initially with the Chargers, plays in Tennessee now.
Well, the two names that you had just mentioned, Sebastian Joseph Day and Arden Key, according to a couple of different reports, they could be available.
Yeah.
So those,
Landry
those are
would
some
be
other
interesting
names.
To me. I bet you that L'Jarius Sneed is not available.
No, he's definitely a long shot, but I just, you know, if you're in sell mode, if you're Tennessee, that's a big contract.
Just looking at Tennessee, I'm just pulling them up right now to see where they are defensively in DVOA, because they're a terrible, terrible offensive football team. But they've been a good defensive team. Washington has them on the schedule, remember. They play Tennessee here, right?
Yeah, in December, yeah.
Tennessee defensively, ninth in the NFL. I mean, that's impressive, because you're on the field for most of the game. They're the ninth-rated DVOA defense in the league. They're 28th offensively. I don't know what, you know, there's so much variance to defense. You know, by the time you find a quarterback and get it together offensively, you know who Tennessee should trade is Tony Pollard. He's been great, and teams need running backs, so they should trade him back to Dallas. Seriously. Hasn't he played really well?
He has. I think he'd be furious if he goes back to Dallas.
Well, I mean, he's not having any fun in Tennessee.
True. At least his owner's not an imbecile.
Yeah.
I do have a couple other names. We'll get to those after the break. More offensive names, you know, receiver is a position. I've grabbed a couple of names that I think could be available
for
Washington.
Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
And then in terms of, like, the specific moment in time, you guys didn't use Emmanuel Forbes in the game yesterday. I don't know what that means for the game plan or just where he's kind of at with you guys. You also have a little bit banged up on the defensive line. In general, are those areas that perhaps warrant a little more attention, whether it is to make a trade or just, you know, finding finding some more help along the way here.
Yeah, it was nothing, past, like, for Emmanuel, nothing wrong in that spot. So it just kind of how the game played out yesterday, Ben. It wasn't by design or any of those things. So he had played the week before and even more plays prior to that. So nothing along those lines. And as it goes for D-line or any of the spots, if there was, like I said, a way to compete to do things, we would look into it. But our team's growing stronger, and even some of the guys that had been banged up are, you know, starting to recapture that. And so it's been great to have Jordan McGee back out there and F.A. back, you know, coming back there off their stints from not being able to help so far.
Yeah, not much said yesterday by Dan Quinn. Ben reported last night, he tweeted out the following. Here's what I've heard on Forbes. I've heard multiple teams say that, yeah, he's available, that Washington is open to moving him. Josina Anderson last night, I'm told that the Commanders have recently assessed a potential interest for 2023 first-round cornerback Emmanuel Forbes Jr. on the trade market per sources. So it's possible that the only move they make today is to sell a player in Emmanuel Forbes. What they could get back for him, not what they gave up for him, which was a first round pick. And get ready for that if they deal Emmanuel Forbes. I mean, it will have been truly one of the worst first round runs in the history of the league, right? It would be Forbes, Dotson, Davis, and Young, the four first rounders for one Riverboat Ron, none of whom are on this team, all of them traded and or cut. Jamin Davis got picked up by somebody, right? Did Philly pick him up and put him on the practice squad?
I don't know if it was Philly, but he is on somebody's practice squad.
Yeah, I thought it was Philly.
It was the Green Bay Packers.
The Packers put him on the practice squad. All right, you've got a few more would I or wouldn't I's on the trade deadline. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we got a couple of wide receivers. Mike Williams is kind of in purgatory right now. His Jets just went and got Devontae Adams, who's best friends with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was critical of Mike Williams a couple weeks ago. Does Washington go and get Mike Williams to pair with Terry, Noah Brown, and De'Ami Brown?
I've always been a big Mike Williams fan. I just, you know, the poor guy has been hurt. He tore his ACL, I think, last year in week three or week four, and he was off to a great start. I'm pulling it up right now because I want to see what he had last year with Herbert. He played in three games, and he had 19 catches for 249 yards in three games. So he was off to a great start. He obviously had, you know, been a part of Justin Herbert's early career, Philip Rivers at the end of his career, had some injuries along the way. But I've always liked Mike Williams, you know, in terms of big targets, guys who, you know, in, you know, put it up to him, good route runner, and, you know, for a lot of reasons, one of which is they just brought in Devontae Adams, and they've already got a guy in Alan Lazard that they like, and they've got Garrett Wilson. You know, there's just no room, although he did make a big catch in that Thursday night win over Houston with Aaron Rodgers. But I would be interested in Mike Williams because you're not going to have to give up a lot for Mike Williams at 31 years old or whatever he is right now. You know, you're talking about definitely a conditional late round pick, and you get your, you know, big time size guy. Noah Brown, you know, has helped out a little bit on that end, but he's a veteran. He's played in a lot of big games. I would say yes to Mike Williams, in part because you're not going to give up much to get him, right?
No, you're looking at like a sixth. If you're just basing this off of, like, you're not going to pull a Jerry Jones who gives up a fourth for Jonathan. Like, that's not how that's going to go. Adam Peters is not falling for that. So you're giving up, like, a sixth, maybe a seventh to get Mike Williams. I'd be very intrigued with it. He's on a one-year, $10 million deal, so it's basically a trial
period.
Yeah, so you
have hardly anything left on that, and then there's no – now, so that's a true loan. That's a true loaner.
That's a true loaner. There's a void unrestricted free agent in 2025, so it's a true loaner, but I'd be very intrigued with it.
Yeah, again, I don't think wide receiver is a massive need. I personally don't. I think they've got a guy that, you know, hasn't had a breakout game yet, but it's not going to surprise me if he does, in Luke McCaffrey. I think Noah Brown was a great addition in late August. And they've got a guy playing like a true high-level number one right now in Terry. They've got guys out of the backfield in Eckler that can really help out. They've got multiple tight ends in Ertz, and now, you know, we could see the emergence of Sinnott a little bit more. I mean, I like what they have right now offensively. They don't punt, people. Okay, so they're not in dire need of anything offensively. If you want to say that a true star like Higgins, you know, now you're really unstoppable, okay, because that may be the only way to beat the Lions in the postseason is to outscore them. You know, that the Lions, if they go down in the postseason, are going to be out-dueled in a 35-31 game. You know what Washington does well? Offense. And maybe they could do it even better. So,
I was going to throw T. Higgins on this list purely from a semantic standpoint, but the Bengals are 4-5.
Yeah,
they're not getting rid of T. Higgins.
The Bengals are one of those teams that they can beat anybody with what they have on offense.
Right.
I mean, they've got Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins when Higgins is out there and healthy. They got all these other guys, too, like the guy from Princeton who you can't pronounce his last name, who all he does is catch touchdowns for them. Yushivash or whatever?
Yeah, something like that. The Burton thing hasn't worked out. The guy from Bama, that's been a weird situation.
They should not trade T. Higgins.
No, they won't.
They're still very much a viable. I've said this for a few weeks. The AFC is going to produce 2-9-8 teams in the postseason. Cincinnati could certainly be one of those. And then they would be dangerous as a team playing anybody with that offense. All right, what else?
All right, one final player for you. This is more on the defensive side. How about Cam Jordan from New Orleans? Their season is over. It's a veteran pass rusher.
What's his contract situation?
He's certainly not at his peak. He signed for this year. He signed for 2025 at $12 million, and that's it.
When's the last time he had a big pass rush year? Seriously. Like, I'm just thinking. Like, it's been a while, right? And New Orleans has been good defensively. They were excellent defensively last year. Tell me how many sacks he had last year.
So I'm pulling up his numbers now. He has zero sacks this year, but he had two last year.
Two in 17 games. In 2022, he had 8.5. He is got to be 33 or 34. 35 years old.
He's 35. He's old.
I mean, you're not giving up a lot for Cam Jordan here. He's a pass rusher specialist at this point, right?
Right.
How's he played this year other than having no sacks in 9 games?
I think for him, you're getting more of a veteran guy. Who can come in
he does
on...
does have two forced fumbles this year.
You know, a veteran guy that can come in on probably 15 snaps.
I love Cam Jordan for several of those years. You know, that New Orleans defense. Remember, Drew Brees had teams that were terrible defensively for several years. Remember, they were like 3 straight 7-9 seasons with Rob Ryan as the defensive coordinator and just terrible defensive teams, and then they just kept getting better. But... yeah, I mean,
he's been average this year. If you look at PFF numbers, they're not all that impressive.
They're not?
No, but I know he's frustrated. He had that tweet over the weekend about how apologizing to Saints fans because they lost to the Panthers.
Right. Yeah, losing to the Panthers will put you in sell mode, that's for sure. Again, cost, loner, 35 years old. Do you think that... with what you have defensively, that he can, because you're bringing him in to rush the quarterback. You would be bringing him in with the belief that you can see Cam Jordan from a few years ago when he had 15.5 sacks in 2019, 12.5 sacks in 2021. Even as a 33-year-old, he had 8.5 sacks in 16 games in 2022. You are bringing him in because you think he can cover up a lot of your back-end weaknesses because he's going to pressure the quarterback. You got it. I mean, and yet he has not done that this year at 35 in New Orleans. All right. We'll do some Denton news. I do want to get to some of the other things that happened in sports last night. We'll come back to this trade conversation for sure. And something Dan Quinn yesterday, I will pick a bit of a bone with when we get to it at about 12:15. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, team980.com.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.